Hi, Ben here from Supercoach Insider. Look, I thought I'd get out there tonight, get this off my chest, because if you are like me, you're probably feeling incomplete is probably the best word that we can put to describe it. I forgot how much rookie roulette could be. So rookie roulette, it's just one of those weeks where some rookies absolutely fire, other people you had in your team all preseason, like Sarong, absolutely fire. And then the mid-price strategy that I decided to go with because I thought, hey, more points on field, more people to flip and use as stepping stones, did not perform. So we're going to unpack a few things here as far as like my team and just a few different things throughout the weekend. But man, I don't know if I liked watching footy this weekend too much, to be honest. You know, some of it was great. Some of it, I'm just looking at my players going, why? Or Nick Mutton butchering the ball. Why? Why did I put you in my side, mate? Like, why did I go short over and pick a guy who's unique with the one good score in there? And I was like, no, he's good. He's good. And then Vlosten comes back in. Might've got tagged maybe by Fox or something the week before that. Who knows? Like he comes back in, he starts taking kickouts. Like Rioli starts taking kickouts, Shorts in there as well. Does okay. But then you had, yeah, just so much stuff to unpack. So look, I end up scoring, I think it was 21-14. Not too bad considering. I've seen a lot worse. I had Gibkus off the field, which was awesome because I was really stoked about that one. 19 Supercoach. So he's out ACL. That's something we have to deal with. I was tossing up between, do I put Reed on field? Do I put Howes on field? Chose wrong, obviously. So I was battling up between like Caulfield and I'm bringing in Hoare into my team, who did okay. So look, here's what's happening. I am not drinking until the wedding. My team lost. Brisbane lost 0-2, same as Chris. He's 0-2. So I thought, you know what? I've got this one that I want to try. And it's Glenn Glasgow. I'm going to try and give this one. Now, it's 12-year-old PX cask matured, 12 years of age. And I thought, you know what? I've got two of these. So I'm going to try one. So, chin chin. And I thought, if I can't have a dram when my team loses, then what's the point in having so much whiskey? Like, honestly. So, and this is how I'm going to enjoy my Sunday night. Join me for the absolute anarchy that is Supercoach. Cheers to you. Oh, wow. That is very, very, very jammy. Oh, PX cast. Eat your heart out. That's from Whiskey Club too, by the way. I should probably actually at some point maybe even put out my reference in case anyone's not part of the Whiskey Club. It is good gear. And much cheaper than Dan's and everything out at the moment because they just keep going up in inflation. All right, so let me have a look through some teams and different things as well. I wish I started Sheasel. I'm going to start in defense, right? So Sheasel I should have started. Houston was the one I kept going back to. Didn't get heaps of the ball, Houston, but he was very influential. Got some intercepts, and every time he got it, he kind of looked to go a corridor. He was just really impressive, and he was everywhere. Could have been a bigger score, to be honest, for Houston. So, yeah, like I kind of expected that of him. He could have gone bigger. So I'm okay with the fact that what did he go in the end? 114. Yeah. So only 75 dream team, though. So he only didn't have many touches, but he was very, very, very influential through that process. So I thought he was still good for today. Diesel is the interesting one for me. Now, I like him. 32 touches and mostly kicks, like 23 kicks. 130 Supercoach, just racked it up. 9 marks, no attention really given to him, and he just towers up. Now, I think the issue is that if you have Sheasel there racking up the ball, and then you kind of, you know, it looked like Fisher kind of played one side of that back line, and I think most of the ball's just going through Sheasel. So that is a bit of an issue for me with Fisher. Full disclosure, by the way, I should probably start with this. And again, this is no structure. This is something I was like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I can't be bothered. And I'm like, no, let's just get out there. Let's just get it done. All right. Now, try not to overreact. Let that sink in. So the only time you want to overreact is if you're looking at a Gold Coast player or someone who's going up in price where you think that they might price you out. Hogan, if you wanted to go down that route and hope that he banks another big score, and then you'll get that big price rise, right? So Hogan's someone for sure you could look at. McKay, you could look at next week after their bye for sure. But don't overreact in a sense, because a lot of them, even the Gold Coast guys, are not going to price you out much, right? So even if Flanders goes 110 this week, he's probably going up about 30K, and he's still extremely affordable to be able to get, except if you bring one of them in this week, you're going to miss them next week, which means that you're probably going to get them into your team, which is awesome because you're saving a little bit of cash, but then you're going to lose points, so you might as well spend that extra 30K. If you have it, which is the other big dilemma that we have. So for me, I tried to keep a little bit of bank up my sleeve. I kept, I think it was about maybe 75, 80,000 up my sleeve. And the reason I kept some money up my sleeve was because I wasn't sure if I needed to go like Clark up to, I've got a mind blank now. If I need to go like a rookie up, or if I needed to go one of my mid prices like Hewitt, you know, trying to get him to a Flanders, or to try and, you know, move Martin up to a Tuke. And I was trying to keep some money to kind of be a little bit flexible. And Windsor was the other one. So I was like, well, or I can keep money to go, say, Clark or a rookie, go rookie up to Windsor and something like that, or Lazaro. So I kind of kept some money just in case I could make a few of those moves. And it's probably lucky I did have some money up my sleeve, because it looks like I can go Gibkus to D'Ambrosio, who did extremely well for Hawthorn. Pretty much did everything Sicily should have done. He's everything Sicily should be. And even more likely now to score well that Sicily got suspended for a week for kicking. Like, what, pick up a bit of a spear tackle and then throw the leg out. So I don't know. It looked a bit soft. We'll see if that sticks. So, but yeah, suspended for a week. So he's out. 122 super coach for him. He's only like 223K. So I can afford it. Okay, so I'm definitely looking at doing that this week, just because he's already got the 122 in there. Sicily's not there, so unless he gets injured, that would suck. But I also want those points on field to cover for Williams. Now, if Reed doesn't get up, then it's a big issue, because then I would have had Gibkus and Reed there. And honestly, defenders in the rookie defenders suck. Like Caulfield, all of them didn't do great. But don't overreact by trying to just chase last week's points. So the points that are out there. So Sarong, right, Rao, Tuke, Flanders, Heaney, right? Don't chase points that are already gone. Now, particularly the big ones, right? So Sarong, et cetera. So I worked it out. If you think Sarong's going to average 115 for the year, and this is all subjective, because some people might say, oh, he's going to average 120 for the year, so he's still value, right? Now, if you think he's going to average 115 for the year, now that that 170 is gone, right, it's more likely that he'll average 112.5 for the rest of the year from this point forward. So you need to kind of work out, hey, is this someone that is going to be top eight and I need them in my side and they're not heavily owned yet? So that way, if I can get them early, I will get an advantage on everyone that brings them in later, and I think they're going to be a must-have. Now, if you think they're going to be a must-have, well, then yes, you should probably try and make some moves and sideways people who look like they aren't a must-have to get them in your side. Now, for me, that comes down to Martin. Now, I don't even know why I've had him in my side, and then I kind of, someone actually put out, I put out the video talking, yeah, the help video, the self-help video, it should have been labeled, on Saturday. So I was like, okay, I'll put out a video to kind of explain my thoughts. And then I'm like, someone commented saying, what about Martin? You didn't have Martin. And I was like, yeah, but I want to see it from him first. And if he gets DPP, I'll pay 550K if I have to for Martin, right? Now, considering I also had money in the bank, why pay for Martin, who is a Dacos light? Yeah, I like Martin, no offense. When I could have just spent 50K more and got Sheasel and make me another like 70 super coach points this week. So, you know, that's something I'm kind of wrapping my brain around this week. Or why did I go short when I should have just gone for the most popular person? And that's the time sometimes where, you know, like, look, I like Sheasel, but I wasn't sure about his role. Can he continue to do it? Can he consistently do it? We know he likes to rack up the ball, and then he comes out and does it round one. Like, yeah. So they're the ones you kind of just have to let sink and not just sideways a short to a Sheasel. But Martin is someone I think I possibly could move on just because if, like, the role's there, right? So Martin rolls there, Nick Martin rolls there, had heaps of balls, couldn't hit a target to save his life, right? But they looked for him. He was pushing up aggressively, wasn't extremely defensive. So I think the role is there for him. What do you have? He had 25 touches, 16 of those kicks, 6 marks, 1 behind, which he could have kicked, and, yeah, like, sprayed everything. And it got to halftime where even his teammates weren't really looking for him because he was just butchering it so bad. That game, though, could have been easily 100-plus. I think it was 38 points off rough estimate on turnovers and stuff alone that cost him. So realistically speaking, that should have been at least a 95, Supercoach, or more, right? Maybe it was 32 that he lost. So it's at least like 95 Supercoach. So you bring that up, and that's actually not a bad game, right? And he does have a high ceiling, so it could easily balance out. But he is someone that I'm thinking, okay, well, I got him in as a cheaper person who I thought could go, 105, right? 100, 105 in my defensive line by round 6. But then when Sheasel bangs off, right, Ryan bangs off, Young fails, and then you kind of looking and going, okay, well, is Martin going to be top 6 to 8 in defense? Or would I be better off trying to move off him to, say, a Flanders and then trying to shape up a different line? So that's the one time I would actually consider moving on someone, is if they don't look like they are going to be top 8 in their line, and then you can kind of try and get aggressive around it. Now, am I going to move on Nick Martin this week? No. And the reason is because I think you can afford to wait a week for some of these people. The only issue is obviously the thing I'm going to have to toss up and weigh up is the fact that Martin will play this week, obviously, but Flanders will rise in price after this week. So they cost around the same. I can afford them and D'Ambrosio, but then where does that leave me? So, so that's pretty much where we are currently at. I think if you have these defenders, Reed, if you have any defender mids, switch one of them out for Gibkiss, etc. I think that's probably the easy one. Reed, I'm hoping, plays. I'm hoping gets another crack because he's not really going to lose much money. So I'm hoping he just comes back. I'll probably hold him and then loop my other defender because, again, I'm not happy with them. So I might just try and loop them and just deal with this first sort of few rounds. Hopefully he gets up, though. So I think it was awareness. So I'm hoping he actually gets a good run and actually gets amongst it. So that's pretty much where we're at from my side. But, yeah, Williams had a good role, 47 at halftime, didn't do much. I think it was 50 at halftime the game before, didn't do much in the second half. Young was... So here we go. Starts off the game, right, and gets heaps of touches early. His role's funny. He had 10 tackles, right? So, but gives away a head-high tackle. It was like 3 frees against. Gives away a head-high tackle, then goes to the next contest and gives away a 50-meter penalty. So there's minus 12, Supercoach, to begin with, right? So when people are kind of confused on why he didn't score as much, and then you look at his disposal efficiency and it's like 65%, so where's the points coming from? That's where. And that kind of killed his stunt, like stunted his growth a little bit. Third quarter, he just didn't do much, didn't touch the ball much, didn't get many Supercoach points, kind of stuck around, it was like 15, 16 disposals or something like that. And then the issue was is that, in my opinion, he was running up and down the corridor, right? He was doing all the running up and down the corridor, trying to get amongst it a little bit. But the issue was Fremantle were winning and trying to protect the lead. So Brisbane were trying to kind of come through the corridor that he's kind of trying to follow down the play. Fremantle would get it and then try and go along the wing. And they're not looking to use Young as much because he's kind of guarding that corridor. And then around some stoppages and that kind of thing. So that's where I think it just kind of, where the game was situated didn't suit him. Whereas it suited a Sarong and a Brayshaw and particularly the defenders. So Brisbane had so many poor forward Supercoach scorers and Ryan was just blasting it out. So definitely some injury fronts out of that. I think Sharp did pretty well. I was worried about him possibly being subbed, but he did it well enough that with their injuries and stuff as well. I think Cox got injured, bad hamstring. Warner, I think, got... knocked out or something or other. So big collision there. So he's out. And then there's another injury as well. So there's going to be a lot coming out of this week. But yeah, I think hold strong on probably a defensive line. Sicily, if you have him though, after that poor score, he's going to drop heaps in price and he's suspended. So I think he is a trade for the 18% that own him. Cheers to you. I should just cheers every poor scorer, to be honest. That's where we're at. And I've already kind of covered the first couple of games, so I'm just pretty much going from Essendon on. So looking at heavily owned people. D'Ambrosio, I think that's pretty much where it's at for Hawthorn. So let me just go through a couple other lines. In the midfield, though, right? So super happy with Green. He was one I was kind of considering fading just because of that buy. But then I thought if he goes 130, 130, my rookie can cover up that buy anyway. And I was quite happy with Roberts and a few others in my line that I thought I could kind of get away with. So I'm actually happy that I got him in because that big score again, that's two in a row, beast mode. They play, was it West Coast next week? So I don't think that'll change. And I now with that good score in his system, I'm quite happy that I made that decision knowing that, you know, a rookie can kind of cover him for a week. So that's what I am happy with. Butters did Butters things. Port Adelaide were interesting though. I don't know if it was because I was playing West Coast. They had a real blend from my perspective. Without looking at stats, this is all first opinions before I kind of talked to Chris and Swiss this week. But it looked like they had a real good blend through that CBA. So Butters wasn't overly in there. Was forward at times. Still did Butters things, right? But there was one contact, I think, where he might be in some trouble for a bump. So we'll see what comes out of the wash. If he somehow gets suspended, which, you know, anything's possible, then obviously I would look to move him on. So that's where I'm at with him. Butters, I was... Yeah, you got what you kind of were asking for. He kind of peppered away. Wines had a lot of time on the bench, was doing really well, but every time it was like he was on the bench, like two times for the first quarter, two times for the second quarter. And that's when you talk about how much time they're on the bench for, it was quite a while. And then moved into the game where they probably got rested a little bit more. So he did well enough. 94, I'm pretty happy with. Roll's good. I think probably building him in for the season, I think, for the next one, because they will play, North Melbourne next? No, Richmond next. So I think they'll need him in against Richmond to kind of try and get some big contested ball. So I'm waiting to kind of, he's another one you just have to wait for, right? Now, Hewitt as well, I'm at least, he's got a bye this week, so there's no point in me trading him. Roll was great for Hewitt, as I already said. Roll was good. He just didn't convert for Supercoach, and then, it could have been a lot better. Like that could have been a 90, could have been much better. Berry, I'm watching because he did well enough and he got an 80, right? But he did kick a goal. I think dropped a mark as well right at the end. Could have actually won them the game. Got heaps of points, right? But wasn't completely satisfied. He was half forward flank, pushing into the contest and then playing on Rowell for a lot of the first quarter and a bit, which I think slowed Rao down initially, but then Rao just got so much momentum where you just couldn't stop him. So he just absolutely pitbulled that part of it. So McKercher, I wasn't sure whether to have on field or Sanders. I mean, this is like the week. So again, rookie roulette, right? As you already know, this is as scattered as you'll probably see me in a while, which probably shows the frustration. And you're probably like me, which is probably why you're watching this, feeling the frustration. Sanders sub, Windsor sub, Clark subbed, right? Just Gibkiss injured, Reed injured. It's just for like rookies, man. Like, I actually thought about it. And then I had mates also from work and stuff that had Butterick. So if you were one of the 9% or 8% that had Butterick, feel free to call him Spudrick, 17 Supercoach or 19 Supercoach. Oh, 17, I think. So imagine if you had like Sicily, Gibkiss, Spudrick, Reed, and like Williams on field, right? Like how bad would your backline be? And now this whole rookie situation. So now Sanders, that's just Bevo. Like we talk about it. Windsor at least got 70 Supercoach before he got subbed, but you would think with this fitness level, they would play him throughout because, hey, the fourth quarter for your fittest guy would be the best time to let him run. So that's concerning. When Lockie Hunter comes back, that's concerning. I already did speak this week about once or twice with Billings. There's another headache issue that we have coming up. Billings was sub, and then he played extremely well. So then he can also play wing and half forward flank and then take some of Windsor's spot too. Like, it's just, there's so much interchangeable parts across wing and half forwardish, I think, for Melbourne. So Windsor's an issue. So, I mean, if it's not his day, and he played really well, 70 super coach. So again, I'm just saying, I would be a little bit worried now that sub's been made. I'm worried now with Sanders. Did okay, just butchered the ball, right? So new player, just butchered the ball a little bit. Wasn't his day as well. So he's another one you just have to watch for a week and then see where it comes out. See if you need to sideways to someone to make some money. But I think he might come good. But yeah, it's just frustrating all around. And then Billings absolutely killed it. So what did Billings do, right? Now, he was a sub, had like 11 super coach. So the good news is, because he had a poor round zero, it means that you probably don't have to get him just yet. Now, I'm trying to find this. Someone tagged me. So let me go. Here we go. Price projection. So it's Supercoach Battlers. So at NBSC23 on Twitter, and came out with some price projections. So Billings, if he goes 80 next week, he goes from 243 to 274. So it goes up 31,000. Now, for a guy who's 240K, the second that they jump 30K, it becomes a little bit of an issue. Because if he goes 80 for the next 4 weeks, he goes from 243 to 363. And if he goes any one more big score, like 90, 100, everything just gets amplified. So it's a little bit interesting. They play Hawks next as well. So that's someone that could probably get, you know, run over on the outside a little bit, depending on Hawks. Port, Adelaide, then Brisbane. So not exactly the easiest run, but again, really interesting there. While I've got this guy's stuff open as well, he was really kind to share this through. So Matty Rowell, if he goes 110, he'll go up 33K. So he'll go up to 604. So again, 30K, like as in, I know you want it, right? But even if he keeps going 110, he'll go 604, 614, back down to 600. Like it'll plateau out, right? The more expensive they are, the quicker they kind of drop. Tuke Miller is the other interesting one. 545, if he goes 110, it looks like he'll go up about 22,000 to 567. So still, again, I'd rather play someone else for a week and then just pay the extra bit of money if I do want them. Plus, I get to watch them for another week. So you get to watch them. And then Flanders as well. So Flanders from 494 to 524, 30K. Now, that's if he goes 100. Now, they're playing in Mars, right, down Ballarat sort of way, Windier Oval against a Bulldogs team that has a pretty good midfield with some good pit bulls. And I think that the way that the Gold Coast Suns have been going, I think the Dogs midfield and Libra and a few of these others will be really keen to kind of show them who's boss in that midfield. So, yeah, I think I'll just kind of wait another week, work out if I do really want, like, need these players rather than just jumping early. And then it's about trying to make sure I can find the cash if I need it to make it happen, which will be next week's problem. So, all right. McKercher I thought was great, 88 super coach. So definitely you're obviously keeping him. But yeah, Berry's the one I'm looking at maybe getting rid of. Martin maybe as well getting rid of. I'm trying to think who else. So Dawson dropped a lower score. So great news if you want to bring him in at some point. I thought it was good enough, but it was just a wet game. And it didn't really suit like the silkier players. It suited more of the brute force kind of players. And I sort of say Anderson, because if the ball was getting to your side of it and then you could use it, then yes, the silky players could still do well. But yeah, Dawson just wasn't quite there. But it was a bit of a scrappy affair, to be honest. I was watching that game and then I was switching across to say like Geelong and Saints. Found myself watching that game so much more. I know a few people are talking about probably Dempsey, 150K forward. Not going to kick a few goals every week. Was going huge early on and then just slowed right up. So, look, if you have big issues and you want to kind of go there, then yes, sure. But, again, it's going to be fluctuating based on some of those goals and stuff like that he receives. So there is a little bit of risk in that one. So I don't know if I'd be looking to kind of move sideways to get him in. If you've already got him, awesome. You've got him in your side already. That's great. And I think you could be extremely happy with that point of view. I might just bring up actually Supercoach players. Here we go. And I can just kind of have a look at the players that performed extremely well, which would be probably ideal to kind of go through. So glad I stuck with Gorn. Like, I know I was talking about Gorn and English. I felt like I needed, well, I wanted to kind of keep Ollie Wines. I wanted to go those three mid prices in that middle to kind of be aggressive, which I'm happy with my strategy. It just didn't work out this week. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to work out next week. So some of these premiums might fail. Some of these rookies might fail next week, and my mid prices might absolutely bang off. And then all of a sudden, I'm right back up where I thought I would be. So it's not completely doom or gloom, right? So I know 1 week. So in previous years gone by, all the mid prices fire off, and then you're like, damn, like mid, you know, these guns and rookies, it's failing, it's no good. And then next minute, the mid prices fail and the guns and rookies fire. Like, it's too early to see whether that strategy is not going to work or work either way. But the one thing I do know is that with 40 trades, that's two trades a week for 20 weeks. And I don't plan to have, like, I plan for my team to be completed by the buys. So either way, I need to be aggressive. It's just about trying to pick my moments as to when I want to be aggressive to make it happen. Grundy was, yeah, disappointing. But yeah, so I thought English was good. I thought Gorn was absolutely sensational. And then when we kind of have a look through, if I sort via highest price, yeah, so there's quite a few good performing people. Like Dawson obviously didn't. Sicily was probably the biggest spud that was expensive. But yeah, otherwise, most of the expensive ones, like Luke Davis Uniac, Sarong, Green, Luke Ryan, like Rosie, most of them actually did pretty well. Dunkley pulled his finger out, which is great. Marshall did well. Dacos killed it. Zach Merritt killed it. Laird, Petrarca, Oliver, English, Bontempelli. Most of the people that paid up for premiums, I think, wouldn't be too upset. It was more of that range where you kind of get to about 500 or 450 to 550 that kind of was a bit hit and miss. And that can be the issue of going for breakouts in general. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what kind of comes out in the wash as far as from this point forward. So, and we do know that draw does help as well and fixture does help. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week. So please do kind of keep track. Anyone that's followed me before, keep track of the train of thoughts to kind of get to where you get to. And we're all human. We make mistakes. Like, again, Nick Martin shouldn't be in my side, wouldn't be in my side. You know how you kind of see the subs come out and then you see that the sub is obviously the tagger for Hawthorn. And so McGuinness, and I was like, oh, no tag. He's going to get off the leash. He's going to kill it. Oh, my God, I got 6 minutes to make it happen. And then you pull that trigger. I was like, oh, I've had him in my team before. It'll be fine. He'll kill it. And then I got him in there, and he's like, got touch after touch after touch. I was like, yeah, he's got like 9 touches. This is great. And then like every time he gets it, error. I'm like, oh, my God, can you hit a target? And then just, yeah, faltered. So, yeah. But again, roll was good. But that was probably a decision I wasn't really keen to make. But look, we got there in the end anyway. So we are where we are. It's just about where do we go from now. So this is my team as it stands. Forward line, I was extremely happy with Heaney. Fisher, jury's out for me. Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, I'm only, what is he, 370K. I'm only 40K off going Hogan. Now, poor Swizz, he was talking about Hogan and talking about, oh, wouldn't it be great? I'm tempted to go Hogan. You'll probably kill it. Someone's going to kill it from GWS. It'll be like Ash or Hogan, or I want to start someone. Now, he did float up a couple of people, and Ash spotted hard, yet he blames me because of Hogan, right? Now, Hogan hyperextended his knee in round zero, 90 seconds to go, and he was talking about, I watched his pod. I was like, hey, dude, do you know that he hyperextended his knee? Here's the footage. He literally did that, went to the goal square, one more minute, game over, and then that was it. So I said, look, he's probably going to play, right? But I'm just saying that he hyperextended his knee, so he might not be fully fit. So he didn't start him. Blames me for it. And then I think Joe from the center bounce also then, Swizz talked to him and talked him out of it. So now, cheers. So it's my fault. Anyway, that's what you get. So Fisher, I could probably go up from him. he's someone, again, I do want to watch because in that preseason game, he just towered up. He was everywhere. The soonest Sheasel gets any attention, which it might not happen just yet, most teams kind of back in their systems for 1 to 4 weeks, and then they go, oh, this isn't working. Let's tag that guy. And that's what's going to happen. Now, speaking of tags, Brisbane actually tried to tag Sarong after halftime for about a quarter, and they put Robertson on him, slowed him down, but didn't really work. Robertson sucked, didn't get the ball. Lions was pretty good, started off real slow, -2 at quarter time, got banged in the head, had a bandage on, built his way into it. I think when the game was on the brink, he was one that actually did try hard, so he scored reasonably well. I don't know if he'll be there when Neil comes back in. More injury news. McKenna, obviously, hamstring tightness or hamstring awareness. Not good considering they tried to rush him back. So there's a big issue. Lucky they have a bye. But, yeah, that's an issue for Brisbane. And then Zorka went to the back line and was just absolutely peeling off every long shot you could imagine, like hitting targets from 50 meters out on the run, like crazy good. So I hope he actually gets that role. And speaking of tags, Harley Reid picked up like, I don't know, it's like 8 touches, quarter time. Looked really good. And then what happened was Port Adelaide's like, oh, we'll just put someone on him in the second quarter. Like, you know, eat that. And yeah, still worked his way through the game really well, got 78. But I just thought it was like quite funny that they gave him quite a bit of attention and put a bit of a tag on him as well. So yeah, look, it is Supercoach, it is football. But I still think that at some point, if McKercher finds his feet and Fisher's there and they're lacking mids or they're lacking forwards, they could move Sheasel because he is so good. Or Sheasel might get some attention and then the other two are going to have to do it anyway. So I do want to see it for another week. Best 18 is because I've got a mid-price strategy anyway and I'm not missing many people except for Hewitt. You don't really need to make many changes, right? So even Gibkiss, I don't need to make those changes except the fact that I think if people are moving on to D'Ambrosio, if I say his name wrong, sorry. I want those points on field because other people are going to make that happen this week. They're going to go from Spudnik to Butterick down to him or Gibkiss up, and they're going to make that change. And if he scores well, I'll actually lose out. So that's why I'm looking at making that change in there. Fife was really good. 103 Supercoach. So, and that's, I think he can go to another level also. Like he did well enough and willed himself to some contests and was clean enough and was hard enough. But I think there's definitely more there. So I thought he was very impressive. Him going 100 probably wasn't something I was expecting, but I did not want to miss out on it, which is why I started him. So if you missed out on him, there's an issue. He's someone you do need to kind of try and get in at some point. Sexton I thought was good enough for a wet ball game. Rushed it a couple of times, but I think he'll be better for it. And then Cadman, I was happy I started as well. So Cadman, I thought did really good. Buku Kamus, I think Tim Mitchell put it out there as well. Why is no one on this guy? He's only in like a few hundred teams. But I went Cadman mainly because if he didn't do well, I would at least get one price rise out of him and maybe make 20K and then actually upgrade my team around that. So he did what I was hoping for, to have like at least kick a few, have a little bit of a breakout. And I'm hoping that he does that against Richmond again now that Gibkiss is out. So they got some issues down there. So it'll be interesting to see who goes on a mobile target. Maybe it is Vlosten. So I think there is definitely some scope there. So I'm hoping to see him have another good game before I make that decision. But hopefully, yeah, he should at least make money now, which is good. So I'm happy with that one. Wilson I thought was good enough again as well. Outside of those forwards, though, so yeah, I think Billings is probably the other one I do want to get in. Bonner as well, someone I'm looking at now. I do like him, but I would like to wait a week on him particularly. Sinclair comes back in. I just want to kind of see him a little bit more in depth. I know a few people jumped at him, and awesome for you. He got 100 Supercoach. That's really good. But I want to kind of see another week just with Sinclair in that mix and make me feel a little bit better about trying to bring him in. So I could look from Berry to him, etc. So yeah. And at least with Hewitt, I know if I play him for a week, he's going to make a little bit of cash on that bubble anyway. So even if he makes cash while someone else moves up in cash, I can still at least kind of move, which is why I quite like this structure because I feel like I can be flexible and I'm not afraid to cut Martin Wines, Hewitt, Fisher, etc., to kind of make it happen. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much where we're at this week. Now, it is very fluid and crazy. I'm just trying to think if there's anyone else I absolutely fired off that I kind of missed. I'm sure once I get into the chats, leave them in the comments too. And I'm probably the most active in these comments, not going to lie. So I do see them. I do appreciate your comments and I do try and get back to them. I'm just trying to see if there's anyone else that I missed as far as what people are talking about bringing into their side. So I think Supercoach officially has an open. So I've kind of been trying to hang on for in case it does, because it is quite late at night. I think it's still not live, and that's okay. 21:14. Could be better. I'm just trying to see if there's anyone else that I missed. Just to finish this off, otherwise, leave these in the comments. Here we go. Filter. I'm going to filter via people that are cheaper. So that way, it won't be as bad. I thought Yo was good enough too, by the way, for those that own Yo. Billings is a big one. Jimbrozo is a big one. Thomas Berry is another one that people spoke about. Now, he did an amazing job. Was super hard at it. Got 62 in the first one, 104 in the next, 163. I don't think he's had that consistent scoring in him previously, so I'm probably going to fade and pass on that one. I know a few others are now thinking about it, but 62, 104, both in solid wins. This one was very good. I think the wet kind of conditions might have suited him a little bit more. So, look, that's good for him. Fife, if you don't have him, I think 103 you kind of need to get on. Riley Bonner, 102. So, again, I think he's someone that we might have to get in, waiting for another round, but he did do extremely well. I'm not sure if Sinclair in was going to hurt the amount of ball that he will get. So he's someone that I'm looking at. Dempsey, I spoke about earlier, 96. Oh, Powell's another one. Man, he had a lot of CBAs, like a lot. But Phillips didn't play. And if Phillips plays, he's not very good elsewhere, so he probably gets some CBAs. Simkin, when he comes back in, he's definitely getting CBAs. Powell, we saw this from like one of the first preseason or intra-club games where he just got heaps of CBAs, a lot. And we're like, wow, Powell, we got like 312K as a forward. Maybe we have to get this guy. And then it just kind of faded away. And he's still done well enough, right? 95 with a lot of CBAs. Yeah. So I think he's a pass and a wait to see if that continues. But again, Sinclair and Phillips are probably the bigger issues in that one as far as impacting him. So, yeah, I mean, form could definitely force your way in, but there are some issues. And most of them didn't do it. Like, Lions got 81, so pretty much 1 point better than Berry. Well done. Answorth for Brisbane got 80, 176K. I'd watch him for another week and then kind of determine it. He might be someone that benefits particularly from, now you've got McKenna that's injured, as well as Keith Coleman that's out for the year. So he's someone that could be considered. And Carroll I've already spoken about previously, but he's someone that if he's named next game. Now, I want to see Elijah Hollands in that team and Carroll best 22. Then I'll bring him in. And that's what I'm looking for. So, and news on Walsh, sorry, that he's not going to be back straight away to then give Carroll some time. And I thought Carroll's great, but Hollands, I think, trumps him. And that's something to consider. Sharp got 70. Probably did well enough to keep his spot. Their injuries might even keep his spot. If there's even more injuries in like defense and they're vulnerable, they might even try and move some other things. So, yeah, look, if Sharp does well again, he's someone I'm going to have to probably just get because of that. I know I spoke quite openly about Sharp and my concerns about, you know, Chapman and Erasmus kind of impacting it. But, hey, if Fremantle winning and he's scoring well, then I think there's nothing much to be told there. So, Roberts did well. Wilson did well. Otherwise, you're getting into the 60s, which is pretty much all you can hope for a rookie. Literally. All you can hope for a rookie. So I think, that's pretty much it as far as that. Who's on the low end of this scoring, by the way? Let's have a look. Oh, the lower scorers. Ben King, 8 Supercoach. Well done. Not even subbed. McGinnis was sub. Erasmus sub. Oh, Loma sub. Butterick, 17. Not sub. Robertson, 24. Not sub. And there's a few others. That's okay. All right. So I think that's pretty much where we're at. The only two things I will finish up with is, number one, a little bit surprised Essendon and SC Elites put this out on Facebook. And I hadn't considered it before this, actually. So kudos to them and your team, whoever's posting on Facebook. But Essendon, the sub is meant to come from the extended bench, which usually is four, but now it's five. And the whole reason was is because they didn't want to drop someone to then name them as the sub, right? Because you're not really being dropped. So they go, hey, can we please announce a bench of five people, not four, and then we just name our sub from that, which would be much more beneficial for everyone, except for Supercoach and fantasy players. Now, what happened is Tobias from Essendon was named on wing on Thursday night in the best 18 on field, not even on the bench, yet he was named sub an hour before the game. Now, that screams, holy crap, for me, and a lot of people it should, because if you can name your sub from anyone on the field, you can't afford to go and have a life. You can't go and play golf and not check your phone an hour before a game or half an hour before a game when subs are announced, because it could be anybody. And that sucks. Like, that is something I wasn't expecting. I'm hoping that there was some reason for it, but keep an eye on it, because if that's a trend where teams are just trying to use that as a bit of a loophole to, I don't know, like, catch their opponent off guard, that's not going to be good. Because there would be nothing worse than if people started Tobias from Essendon and then all of a sudden he's sub. Yeah, no one's safe in the world. So that's the first one. Second one, shout out to West Coast. Gaff got subbed for Chessa. Now, if anyone saw Chessa play last year, that says a lot about Gaff being subbed out of the game. So, look, I do have a lot of grave concerns for Gaff and his career and his future. So, look, let's just see where that kind of pans out. But that's pretty much it for me. That's 42 minutes of pain, of heartache, of me having... And by the way, thank you for this. I don't know how many did I pull? Two? Brisbane lost, so I think I'm entitled. Don't give me a hard time. If Katrina, if you're watching, I know I said I'm off alcohol until the wedding, but Brisbane lost. I'm in pain. My team sucks. I didn't even want to watch football this weekend. So I think I deserve a toast. So here is to Brisbane and Collingwood, 0-2. Here's to the Supercoach teams with poor performers, poor rookies, poor premiums, and waiting all preseason for the round one hurt that makes you remember what Supercoach is all about. Cheers. And that's it. Talk to you soon.